As always, this episode of the Talking Wolves podcast is brought to you by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. We're now entering the business end of the Premier League season, and as always, you can catch every single televised Wolves game at the Green King Sport venues with over 900 across the UK. You do not need to miss a single minute of the action. Don't forget to download the Green King Sport app for exclusive competitions and discounts whenever there is a game on. So drop a text in your group chat, get your mates down to a Green King Sport venue, and enjoy all of the football before the end of the season.
Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. I am your host, Matt Coburn. Today I'm joined by Dave Azzopardi. Dave, how are you keeping, mate? That eye's still looking a little bit sore.
It's bloodshot. It's way better than what it was, though, to be fair. Just barely any bruising. So, yeah, it's still a little bit bloodshot, but better than what it was. But other than that, mate, yeah, keeping well. Just recovering from Villa. Ended up staying out a little bit in Wolverhampton on Saturday. Nothing too late. But, yeah, just catching up on the sleep from that, really.
How did you get back from Villa Park?
We just got a taxi because, to be fair, from Villa, we were going to get a taxi to New Street. And then, obviously, from New Street, we would have had to get the train. So I said to my mate, just check what an Uber is from Villa Park back to Wetherspoons, Wolverhampton. And it was like 20 quid. And I thought, mate, that's all right, that is.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, you'd probably have to pay close to a tenner to get back to New Street. Then we'll have to pay for a train each. So I said, but we just ordered that and it comes straight away about half an hour later. Bosh. So it was all right.
Like, my experience of Villa Park trying to get away is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
Especially during Ramadan. And because a lot of the taxi drivers are breaking the fast, aren't they? So I think it's like 60th minute where they were breaking the fast. And I thought, oh, you know, people are never going to get a taxi. Fair play for managing to get one. I missed the game. I had a bit of a stinker. I've had a few problems with my foot recently, whether it's like tendonitis or gout, I'm not sure. But the doctor gave me this anti-inflammatory called naproxen. It turns out I'm allergic to it. So, like, my whole face swelled up, my lips swelled up, I've got like covered in sores. Oh, mate, it's been rough. I still feel like crap now, but I won't be taking them again. But yeah. I didn't want to be anywhere near Villa Park on Saturday. nothing to do with the tablets. I just knew what was going to happen. but before we crack on with that, Dave, no Jord this week, no Finn. I think Jord, he's getting a cheeky round of golfing, which is, I'm looking at the weather. I don't think he'll be out there that long, but bank holiday anyway, mate. You've got to enjoy yourselves. Did you do anything else over the bank hole? Anything of note?
Well, obviously we had a week, obviously it's a week ago now, George's reception, a wedding reception, which was quite good. I didn't know many people there, to be fair. I was showing my face. It was just went for the food and dipped. No, I'm joking. No, it was No, it was good. No, really nice event. And then, yeah, bank holiday Friday, went for a mixed grill. I showed you the place in Castlecroft has just started doing mixed grills. Then ended up in One Man Pool Bar for a little bit. And then Saturday, the football. So, yeah, I mean, pretty productive. It's gone quite quick, to be fair. But then I normally have Mondays off anyway. So today feels like a day off for me anyway. It's a bit annoying when it is a bank holiday.
Oh, yeah. I've had Wednesday, Thursday off as well. Last week I booked it off, so I've had quite a longer break, but I haven't been able to do much. But I did manage to go to, for I think the third or fourth time now, Fazenda in Birmingham. I don't know if you've ever been.
Never.
Restaurant. So, you know, like that Radizio Rico, where they come around and like carve the meat off. It's a similar place to that, in and around Colmore Row. It's a little bit more, I'd say, upmarket. It's better, but, mate, the food is so good. It's like £35 at lunchtime. Which I don't think is too bad. There was like two cuts of steak, minted lamb, chorizo, chicken thighs, sticky honey chicken. They're basically coming like sticky honey pork, sorry, they come and like carve it off. But then there's like a big salad bar with like cured meat, loads of breads and cheese.
What's that, 35 per person?
Yeah, £35 per person. It comes to 100 quid between the two of us. Went with my mate and we have like two or three beers each. So I don't think it was too bad, but we'd booked like the last table before the end of service, and they basically come to us at the end and said, "Look, what meat do you want? We'll just bring it all out." So we filled our boots, but I do really recommend that Fazenda. If anyone is wondering where to go, they love a steak. and are a bit of a gannet like me, then definitely go there. What was the mixed grill place you went to?
The Furs. So it's quite a well-known pub within Wolverhampton, but it's right by where the new house is. And there was, I remember I sent you, there was like a news article that people, one of the bigger mixed grill places in Birmingham, were going to buy it, remember?
Soho Tavern was going to buy it.
But then I didn't even know it had changed hands, but someone said it's under new management now and we'd gone. It was, it was really nice. I think it's a bit more, I don't know. I haven't been many other mixed grill places recently, but I thought the prices were a little bit more expensive, but it was nice. It was well worth it.
The popping up, it feels like everywhere in Wolverhampton now.
Yeah.
But there's like a few in the city centre that are notable ones. Now they're popping up in the little suburbs.
It was reserved. All the tables are fully booked. I know it's Good Friday, but it was going to be busy there. So we got there at 4, so just at the right time, I think.
I just hope that, because for me, like a mixed grill is, and we'll come on to the football in a bit, probably think we're on another podcast, but like, I don't know, it feels quite like a working class kind of salt of the earth kind of meal where like it's 20 quid and it feeds like three of you. Like, I feel like we're in a bit of
25 quid for a large. And that, I mean, if you don't eat a lot, it would have fed three of you. But we had, there was four of us. We had two of them between us and then a couple of lines and sets of chips and stuff. So
that's why I always, like, if anyone says to me, what's the best mixed grill place in Birmingham city centre? I say, don't bother, because they tend to be very good in the price. I know they've got bigger overheads, but it's just crap. It's
proportionate,
get to Soho Tavern, about 2-3 minutes outside the city centre, and you're well away. But talking just outside of Birmingham city centre, mate, Villa game on Saturday. I don't know about you, mate, but I kind of was expecting everything that kind of happened. Probably the only real saving grace is that I don't think the performance was that bad on reflection.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as I heard the news about Cunha, I thought, I don't think it's going to happen. And I wasn't expecting Cunha to start, or even if he was on the bench, I couldn't have seen him have much more than 20, 30 minutes. So I don't think it would have made a huge difference. But whilst I was at the game, I probably didn't appreciate certain things as much as obviously people that are at home. But because my dad texted me at halftime saying, how are we losing this? And I thought, huh? I thought we've only had one chance. So I think, overall, we could.
Dads haven't got a clue, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was having a conversation with my dad yesterday, and he was saying, I was like, that Doyle's crap in it. Not Joe Gomez, he's crap in it.
Joe Gomez.
He's like, he can't do much. I'm like, my dad's like, you wait for pro license. You give him to anyone. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, that's all right. But yeah, and I thought, like, on reflection, we probably, we controlled the ball and had decent spells of possession throughout the game, but ultimately, again, just going forward and in front of goal, did not test them. Bar the Ryan Aignori chance, which is probably the big what if moment, we didn't test Emi Martinez at all, really. So I think Villa, at the end of the day, with or without Ollie Watkins, have got just a little bit more quality, more match winners than Wolves, and ultimately that was what the difference was on Saturday.
They were without a few key men as well, but They're a really good side. I think that Emery's got them extremely well drilled, fantastic at home, and like I said, it is a bit of a derby. We both say that we don't care about each other, but I think because we're the only kind of Midlands club within the top division for the last 5 or 6 years, and that rivalry has intensified somewhat, but I've seen a couple of the questions saying the same around. Like, Villa fans say they don't care about us. Now all of a sudden, it's the first time they're gloating. It's like, yeah, but that's what football is. Like, we were doing it a couple of seasons ago. Now it's there. So you just have to take it on the chin, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, they were chanting, mind the gap, Wolverhampton. I've had like comments on content and stuff saying the same. And obviously at the time, flipping heck, But at the same time, when we came up, we were giving it, we were singing that. Yeah, exactly. So, I think whether you like it or not, no doubt, other than like the big six, Villa are probably the other fixture that you look for first when the fixtures come out ultimately. And I remember when the Villa, maybe last year or the year before, they put out the graphic, and it says big games, and it had Wolves on there. So No, it is what it is. And on their website, they put Derby match as well, like a rival match.
He's a Derby, like just through location.
Yeah. So, whether it's Villa or whether it's Burnley, you know, you can have banter with people anyway. It's just how you take it on the chin, as long as it's all in good, you know, good humour.
I always get a load of messages after Villa beat us, which in recent times hasn't been that frequently. But just because of where I live, I don't think there's that many Wolves fans. So it's like, well, what Wolves fan do I know? I know all text. So I always get it. But now, fair play, mate. They've done. I mean, they've spent a fair amount of money on looking at the bench, like bringing on a £20 million fullback in Luca Dean, Zaniolo, John Duran, who's really promising.
Yeah, he's got a lot of quality compared to us.
We bring on Tuanda Chirewa, Nathan Fraser. It's look, no excuses. I think the better team won on the day. Personally, I don't think we did enough. I think after the first goal, heads dropped. But it could have been really different, Dave, couldn't it? That Ryan Aitnori chance is. Listen, I don't think we'd have gone on and won the game, but it's something to build off, something to hold on to, isn't it? And perhaps he thinks he's offside, but I just think he completely lacked composure.
And I think, unfortunately, that sort of shows what Ryan Aitnori is, especially in attacking position. Unbelievable player, but we speak about it quite often. He just hasn't got the output enough, you know. And you know, he did well against Coventry, I think, a game or two before that. You know, he got a goal and an assist. So it's been promising, but ultimately, chances like that you have to take. And I think, you know, you go 1-0 up there. I can't remember what minute it was, like 10, 15th minute maybe, quite early on. You go 1-0 up there and you can hold that lead till half time. You know, anything's possible. You know, we've done quite well to, you know, hold on to lead and see out games. You know, so I would have been confident that we could have got something out of the game at that point. But yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't know. I watched it back yesterday morning for the first time and I was gutted. You know, he's well onside. Just got to put that ball in the back of the net. So he just panicked as soon as the ball falls to him in that position.
Talking of Ryan Aitnori, I've seen John Percy tweaks. He came off, didn't he? Out for the rest of the season, hamstring tear.
I've looked at the date and you've got to be... you've got to be winding me up here.
So I'm looking at you already.
To be fair, you know what? Your message, yeah. So Matt messaged me this morning that's saying, should we put something out on Talking Wolves about Gary O'Neill leaving at the end of the season? But on my phone, it just came up with that, the Gary O'Neill bit, and it says, do you want to put this tweet out about Gary O'Neill leaving at the end of the season? Do we say, I was like, shit, what have I missed? Because my phone was dead last night. And then I realised the date very quickly. So,
oh yeah, I've seen a few this morning about someone had tweeted about Sarabia refusing to play on Tuesday because he's sick of playing the kids. And people are saying, like, he's got to get on with it. He's a professional footballer. He should know best. I'm like, football fans are funny, aren't they? But yeah, that's not true. Before people are scrambling to look, it is April Fools. But I think probably the first 25 minutes, Dave, Wolves were the better team, and I think it was pretty much the game tilted, didn't it? Ollie Watkins had that disallowed goal. I think it was Watkins. Then he had.
What was Kilman doing for that, by the way?
Mate, Kilman on the weekend, he's not good. Not good. I don't know. The last couple of weeks, I thought that, though. I thought against Coventry, he was pants as well. I think he comes in for some unjust criticism just because he has the captain's armband. But I don't know how you feel about this, Dave, but I think too much is put on, like, the importance of the captain's armband. You don't need an armband to lead. It's just superficial stuff. But what I would say is that, and I think we've said it many times, like, just feels a bit too nice. Like, that aggression, you can't teach someone. And there's some times where I just think he's a bit of a shrinking violet. And this isn't me saying I don't think he's a good player, but like Saturday, there's a couple of times where you could just see it was getting to him. Just straight after we conceded as well, the second goal, he gave the ball straight back to Villa and nearly scored. But
yeah
To be fair, I thought the whole back three were pretty poor, to be honest.
This looked all over the place. That one in particular, the Ollie Watkins one when he was off, I think we got very, very fortunate with that. But at the time in the ground, I was like, what's he doing? And then I saw a lot of comments about it as well. Just like, I can't even explain what he was doing. But it was frustrating. I saw a lot of stick for Semedo, and I thought he was actually okay.
No, so I think Semedo is probably one of our better players. The role he had to play, mate, he had to be everywhere. He's scored.
He was the only output, really, wasn't he? Using Doyle just to ping the ball to Semedo every time, and I thought he was actually all right. But and in the ground, people said the same. But then, when I went on socials, there was quite a few people saying how bad he was.
I think that's just that he's always going to have that kind of conversation around him. Sky put a graphic up in the first half. He's like Wolves average positions, and he was the most furthest forward. He was the only outlet. But we wanted a reaction after the Coventry game because it was so disappointing. And I feel like we did get a bit of a reaction. I don't know what it was like after the game, Dave. When the players come over, was it like fairly?
It was all right, to be fair. There was obviously at the game, I think he was frustrated, but I think the back of everybody's minds in that away end was like, it's going to be a tough game. And I think, although we don't want to admit it, I think Wolves fans sort of, obviously we can vent our frustration to whoever, you know, the board mainly are going to get the most of the stick. But I think a lot of the fans know that the current squad situation isn't because of Gary O'Neill. And, you know, we just got to work with what we've got. So I think fans were, you know, as they were sort of quite appreciative towards the end of the game when they came over. Because I think we just knew going into that match, it's going to be a very, very tough game, regardless of our record against the Villa. You know, they're top four, got a much better depth than us at the moment, you know, even with their injuries. So, we weren't awful, but just lacked anything going forward. It was a long evening, to be honest.
I think once you take out that pace in that front three, we're pretty blunt, aren't we? You got to rely on Semedo and Aitnori. And I think Aitnori didn't have the best of the game. He looked tired. I know we played two lots of 90 minutes for Algeria in the week, and his match fitness has never been the best, has it? But what did you think of Chiwomi's first start, mate? He seemed to me a bit more of a presence than Fraser, but I just think we're in danger of writing these kids off before they've even had a proper chance. I know, who else have you got to play? But I feel like quite a lot of Wolves fans have already made their mind up around Chirewa, Chiwomi, Fraser. And
I think people, a couple of things here. I think people seriously underestimate the quality difference, even from Premier League to the Championship or Championship to League One. Like, in terms of the quality of players, it's unbelievable. So when you're having to rely on kids that have never ever played men's football before, like senior men's football, and playing under 21s or Premier League 2 football and expecting them to make that step up, you know, Chiwomi and Fraser were never going to walk in this team and start replacing the goals that Neto and Cunha were going to give you. It wasn't going to happen. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, all you can expect really and all you can, you know, want from them really is as long as they give 110%. Fraser did that against Fulham, because you could tell by the 65th minute he was knackered. Chiwomi did that against Coventry. Obviously, Fraser struggled a little bit. I was surprised. I thought Fraser would probably keep his place on Saturday, or Aitnori would be pushed further forward and have Hugo Bueno starting. But I think he did okay. Look, I think I said on the review, we were at times where I think you could just see where he lacked experience and anticipation. There were certain times where the ball was loose, and it almost took him half a second to a second before he realised that, I could pounce on this. So it will come with time, but ultimately not, and this isn't a dig at any of them, Chirewa, Chiwomi and Fraser should not be anywhere near a Premier League first team at the moment, because they're not ready. They shouldn't. And this was the same with Fabio Silva. Regardless of the amount of money that you'd spent on him, the whole plan was that Wolves would ease him in. And he was unlucky with timing, because he had to get chucked in at the deep end, and ultimately it backfired on him. So with these three kids, really from the summer onwards, they need a loan. Get consistent men's football at a level that they can play at properly. And then we can review it again in 12 months' time. But to review them now and write them off now is completely unfair.
It is, but people will still do it, won't they?
I saw someone writing Tommy Doyle off as well. It wasn't your dad. It was someone else on on Twitter. I think he deleted the tweet in the end, because I think we need to start having a conversation about a certain loanee from Manchester City.
Yeah, he was poor for the second goal.
Yeah, no, I agree.
A little bit careless in possession sometimes. Mm. But no, I think
some of his passing was nice. Like some of the passing between the lines and stuff was quite nice. But right, yeah, no, I agree.
Well, mate, it was a Villa fan. Takes me at half time. He went, that Tom Adore looks a right player. Mm. So it's just strange how people see things differently. But even with Chiwomi, mate, he's a big lad, isn't he? What is he, 6'2", 6'3"? He's got to be.
Oh, yeah.
But he's 18, and like you're coming up against the likes of like Diego Carlos and Pau Torres. And Pau Torres isn't, you know, the most dominant of centre half, but he's a kid, and you don't really get that man strength.
Well, no, yeah. And they're like what international footballers, and fairly certain they both come close or both win the Europa League as well, you know. So, you know, that's the caliber of player that you're talking about. You know, you got a kid that we signed from Wimbledon Academy last year against two Europa League winners. And, you know, physically, footballers really, I think, obviously there are some unbelievable 17, 18-year-old footballers at the moment, and we've seen them. And sometimes they can just come into a football team and it works. But that's so rare. Yeah. So really they need a full pre-season with the team if you're going to keep them around, but physically as well. I think I said on this podcast maybe 6 to 12 months ago about Nathan Fraser, good player, but needs to play football and get there physically. And I think still the same now, because you can see sometimes he runs and it's like he's running in slow motion. And I don't think it's because he's not rapid, but that's not because he's ultra slow. It's just that he's at the age where he doesn't know how to get to his top speed. And same with Leon Chiwomi. I think he's quick, but he needs to
bulk out
a little bit as well. Yeah.
He's chasing us.
Remember this, like, if you see pictures of Fabio from the first summer he was here compared to now, I know it's a few years on, but even the year or two after, how much he bulked out, and you will get that. And I think with Chiwomi and Fraser, I think they're both built to be footballers at a good level.
What do you think's most likely to happen between now and the end of the season? Dave has a party to get at least 1 minute of Premier League football on Noah Lamina.
Oh, man. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, I know what's going on. He obviously doesn't fancy him, does he?
Yeah, but surely if Gary O'Neill knows in the back of his mind, I'm not going to bring this kid on, would you not have had Cunha on the bench?
Not if he's not fit then. No.
Well, if Noah Lamina's not fit though, unless Cunha's unused sub appearance fee is a lot more than Noah Lamina's, which he probably is. But I feel for him. I mean, he don't look interested. I might be wrong. I can't even remember seeing him warming up on the touchline. Unless they zoomed in on him on the TV, I don't know.
Yeah, he was sat there in his puffered jacket and a blanket.
Yeah,
must be a hell of a character, mate, to keep him around.
Well, Gary O'Neill bigged him up, didn't he, after about 2 weeks, and how everyone was like amazed with how good he was in training and stuff. But really, really strange. I don't understand what's going on there, and no one seems to be asking in the press conferences yet, do they? So, I think that's. I don't think there'll be a pre-match press conference at Burnley, but if Noah Lamina is again an unused sub, which if Cunha comes back in, which I'd expect him to, Lamina might not even be in the squad. But that's got to be a question that's got to be asked after the game on Burnley, surely.
I think so. And I think O'Neill would probably answer it fairly truthfully as well. He'll probably say, like, he's just not ready. But for me, for us to have any kind of success, we'd need to bring someone on who's direct or kind of getting behind, and from, you know, limited YouTube clips there are of him, he looks like someone with a bit of pace about him. So that's he obviously doesn't trust him. Mate, you never know. It could be. Well, I mean, we don't subject to what happens behind the scenes, but perhaps playing devil's advocate here. Perhaps Mario, there was a bid for Mario, and he says, "Look, I'll stay, but I want you to bring my brother in," because it does happen in football.
Mm. No, you're right.
It could be something like that. I mean, for a nominal fee, you'd probably think, yeah, we'll bring him on there. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if they signed him permanently in the summer.
I think they will as well. I don't think you'd name him in your squad that many times and not sign him up. But they know maybe we were just getting a bit overexcited in January. And I think, you know, then there'll be some people saying, I told you so. But, you know, in hindsight, look, he struggled with fitness. He couldn't get a kick in the second division of Italy. So what's to say he's just going to come straight back into this war, straight into this Wolves team and make a difference straight away? It's not going to happen. But he's obviously a kid with a lot of quality, and potential. Frustratingly for Wolves, we don't need potential. We need, you know, we need now, we need ability. But I agree. I think from what we've seen, he's obviously a kid with a turn of pace. And I think the last couple of games, I think there's been situations where I think if you get him on an actual winger or an actual forward and you know, running at these tired fullbacks, it might make a difference. But I think, like I said, whether he's in the squad or not on against Burnley, I think someone's got to ask the question just so we know where we stand with it.
Yeah, I think he'll be honest as well, Gary O'Neill. It's probably for the reasons that we've said, but it would be good to get a bit of confirmation. Mm. But I've seen a lot of people throw pelters at the board, Hobbs, whatnot, which is easily done after a loss. I think if you go there and beat the Villa, no one says a word.
Yeah.
But the flavour from that game is, why would you let Fabio and Kolarčević go without bringing in another striker, which I wholeheartedly agree with.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some people's arguments, mate, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I think neither Fabio or Kolarčević make an ounce of difference against the Villa on Saturday.
No, I agree. I think it's more
their profile and the way they are. Yeah. If it was a Che Adams, for example, I think, yeah, it probably makes a bit of a difference. Because he's direct and will come short, but also get him behind. But Fabio and Kolarčević don't do that. And I think you might as well have played a Tchouaméni.
Yeah, I think it's not even... Yeah, no, I agree. I think against Villa, we had nothing. And people were moaning about Tchouaméni, but ultimately, he had next to no service. I think games like the Coventry game, I think if you had one of those two ahead of Fraser, for argument's sake, I think it could have been a different result, although, again, we weren't brilliant. So, I think ultimately the moves for Fabio and Sasha shouldn't have been sanctioned until Wolves had a replacement in, you know, in hindsight now. And I'm sure Matt Hobbs will admit as well that they probably should have held on to one of them. But, you know, I agree. The way the match went, we really struggled. Bringing the ball forward and getting it into the right areas as well. So I don't think it would have made a huge amount of difference.
I don't think it's Hobbs' decision to let them go though and not bring in another centre forward, mate. As a director of football, I mean, we can see that we needed another one. Never mind Hobbs. I think it's come from above. That we'll get another one in. It's come down to it. So, sorry, the money's not there. Because you just wouldn't sanction it, would you? Unless you've got pressure from above and people say, well, Hobbs should stand firmer. But if the gaffer says you're doing something, unfortunately, you just have to take one on the chin, don't you?
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. So, it's frustrating. I think there will be... I don't think we'll lose a huge amount of points, but there will be points here and there that we probably will lose because we haven't got that depth. But I'm just hoping that Cunha is, you know, going to be back, and I'm not holding my breath, but if he can get back to his old self and we've actually got a quality forward again, you know, we could be in a much better position again, hopefully.
I think Sarabia needs a Cunha or a Huang as well, because without them, he's pretty redundant, isn't he? I mean, at the weekend, I don't think he trusted Tchouaméni. I don't think you ever wanted to pass to him, and he was just—he's slow anyway. But I think he needs runners. I think he needs people breaching defenses, because when you take that away from him, he's pants really.
he tried to make things happen, but again, but you could tell he was frustrated, really frustrated. And it's been—we said it the last few weeks, haven't we? Like, you know. You could tell, especially with Fraser, with times where Fraser was trying to run in behind or, you know, making runs in Sarabia. He was like, nah. And I think that was the same again on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's move on from the Villa game, mate. Decent performance all in all. I did tweet that it was painful viewing, and a certain brother of all fan base gave me a load of abuse for it. The performance was okay, but for me, it was painful in the fact that it was like watching a dying animal. Like, there was literally like nothing left to give. Like, there was no other options. We're all out of ideas. but I don't think the performance was that bad on reflection. But perhaps O'Neill was probably looking towards Tuesday as well. Might well bringing like the likes of Aitnori off. He probably sees Burnley as a more winnable fixture. But I know they've only won one in the last five in the league. But out of that bottom five, they look like the ones who are probably going to give it the best shot at the minute. I know everyone's got Rob Edwards down as manager of the year, but despite them being like on the last, like the worst team on form in the last 10 games, but there seems to be something there. Now, I'm not saying it's going to stay up, but I know they've changed the goalkeeper. But they drew against Chelsea at the weekend. They seem to be making a better fist of it now, Dave, which is great for us.
Yeah, and I actually thought they were okay at Molineux. They made life quite difficult for us at Molineux. In the end, you know, we sort of, I think I can't remember, one of the centre halves or the midfielders got the ball, and that was almost the trigger, and we pressed it, and you know, it opened up for us to score. I was going to say Turf Moor was a tough place to go, but you've just said, you know, one win at home all season. But, you know, typically, you know, they just need points, whether it's, they need wins. But I think, you know, going into all these games, they take just a point here and there, and they probably would against us as well. But I think this is the sign now, this game, where Wolves season's going to go. I think if it's, you know, depending on performance, by the end of Tuesday night, and frustratingly, I'm going to Turf Moor on Tuesday.
You are, honestly, mate. You've got nothing better to do with your time.
Yeah, but but by 10 o'clock Tuesday, I may well know that the season is kaput and it's finished, and you know, we're going to finish 11th or 12th or whatever, or you know, the players can show us still that, you know, there is a bit of quality there, and you know, the season's not over, and there's still a little bit to cheer about. So, yeah, look. It's gonna be tough. They've got some good players, good physicality as well. And I think one thing that Wolves need to try and do if they can is I think get Lamina back in the middle of the park, because he's just absolutely wasted out there on the left. They just wasted. He did nothing again out wide against the Villa. So he needs to get him back where he plays his best football, and that centrally, I think.
I would genuinely rather see, and this is how bad it's got, Lamina back in the middle, and then have Sarabia on the right and Doc on the left or something. Because at least it feels more natural. I know Doc's not going to burst past players, but his off the ball movement's quite good. I'd rather see that. Yeah. Genuinely, what else, Sarabia on the left?
Yeah, no, I think you need Lamina centrally. Although, yeah, look, he was good against Fulham on the left hand side. He was, but Coventry was poor Saturday. I'm not necessarily mean poor, but just ineffective on Saturday and ineffective at Coventry. So where he's played his best football this year is central midfield. So let's get that back. And whether you play Doyle, Gomez and Lamina, and then you sort out what you want to do with the front players. But I think that needs to happen anyway.
Mm. Yeah, Burnley, going to be a tough test, mate. I think Cunha, I can't see him being involved from the start, can you? I think if he will be probably involved the last 20 minutes or so. How far is Wang away? About 3 weeks?
Still about 3 weeks, yeah.
So he's back on the grass. I thought he stopped smoking that years ago. which is a boost. But even Wang before he was injured looked miles off it, didn't he? So, but it's better than the options we've got now. Neto probably won't kick a ball for Wolves again. Cunha's the one for me, mate. If you could say have any of them back, it would be him. I think
agreed.
I think he's probably been one of, well, as a
whole. He can grab the game by the scruff of the neck sometimes, yeah. Cunha. And so can Neto to a degree, I think. But yeah, like I said, after the Asia Cup, Wang just looked, I don't think he looked fit. I think he was injured, you know. He was, you know, holding his hamstring and stuff, wasn't he, before kick-off some of the games. I think Cunha's a big one. And if he could come back and make an impact tomorrow against Burnley, then brilliant. You know, we've got some good games coming up. An actual pretty favourable run. A lot of home games as well. And, you know, we have been good at home. West Ham on Saturday, who I always back us against, to be fair, especially at Molineux. I think they always get the better of us in London, and we always do quite well at Molineux. So,
Stinker of the weekend as well, didn't they?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the there's matches there to be won. And Gary O'Neill obviously is right to be cautious. You know, we've seen it historically over the last few seasons where we've rushed players back and they get injured and it makes things even worse. So I think he was saying Cunha was calling him up every night last week to say, look, I'm ready, please let me play on Saturday. And Gary O'Neill didn't want to risk him. So, yeah, big plus. However he's back, in whatever capacity, it's going to be a big boost for Wolves.
Yeah, definitely. How far is Dawson away? He should be back in training.
Him and Bellegarde are back soon, yeah. Again, I know he's had a bit of stick on Rick Bellegarde, but I think he'll be a big boost again for us. Again, games like Saturday, I don't think it would have made a huge amount of difference, but having him on Saturday would have been okay as well, I think. You know, and commentary.
Just a senior forward would be nice. You know, obviously Bueno's been in for Dawson for the last, 4 weeks with injury. Does he come out of the team for Dawson if he's fit? Because I think he will.
I don't know. I think it depends probably this week's games. I think Burnley and West Ham. Look at the results, the performances. Because Dawson, you'd assume maybe fit or getting close to fitness next week. I think if say for argument's sake, we win or get a clean sheet or two in the next couple of games, I think it'd be harsh to just change it straight away. I think this is almost, in a way, and I'm not saying Dawson's time at Wolves is over, but this is, in a way, is probably quietly what some people would have wanted to, in a way, Santi Bueno, to break into the team. And as long as he can hold his chance, you know, why not?
I'm convinced it works, though. Like, I'm not sold yet on the partnership.
Between the three of them? Or
not so much the three, but definitely Kilman and Bueno. I'm not sold. For me, Bueno, I don't know, he just feel...
He's done time, right? Communication stuff.
It's just... I feel like he's a little bit lightweight as well. I know he's a big bloke, but I think he relies on trying to read the game a bit more, but I don't know.
He's played a great ball in for Aitnori's chance, though, didn't he?
the jury's still out for me, but that's not saying I think he's a bad player, but I just need to see a bit more of him. But yeah, not entirely convinced. But do you think a point's a good result at Turf Moor?
I think if you offered me four from the next two, I'd say, yeah, that's okay. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it'd be okay, personally, but I know that there'd be a lot of stick on socials, as per.
You don't know how West Ham are going to react either. I don't know who they've got on Tuesday, Wednesday, but
I can find out.
That would have taken the stuffing out of them massively.
They got Spurs tomorrow, at home, and then they've got
Rook
as well next Thursday.
Yeah,
a week on Thursday. So
you just don't know how they're going to react, do you?
No, they're still in a good position. I always think, like, whenever I look at results, it seems like West Ham have like dropped points, but they're still seventh in the Premier League. Like they've obviously, you know, they've been okay, but I mean, I might be wrong. I'm sure our home record against them is very, very good. I can't remember the last time we lost against them at home.
I remember it was opening day of the season we played them, or first game when Lee Bowyer who scored from like outside the area.
No, mate.
This was like under McCarthy era.
Yeah, they beat us in lockdown. So we beat last season 1-0. We beat them 2021 1-0. I think that was Jimenez. And then during lockdown, they beat us 3-2. Oh, that was when Lingard. Remember when Lingard just walked through everyone?
Yeah. We've had some shockers at the London Stadium.
That was a brilliant. We had a couple of them. This was at Molineux though. This was during lockdown though. And Adama went on that run. And the goat scored a penalty. We ended up losing 3-2.
Who was the goat?
Fabio. Fabio Silva.
Didn't score at the weekend, did he? I don't think.
I don't know, man. I can't be asked to look now.
Do you think his time at Wolves is done?
Yeah, he'll be gone in the summer for sure.
Who's going to pay the money though?
I don't think 15 million is an awful punt on him.
Yeah, but for the teams who he goes in and like improves, do they have?
Yeah, they won't have that money. You need, mate, the issue is outside of England and outside of big championship clubs, there's not a lot of money out there for teams to be spending that amount of money. So, well, he's still only 21.
I know, but again, it's sort of similar with like Chiwomi and whatnot. It's people have already made their mind up.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Because they've been rushed through. Would you take, theoretically, £5 million plus Jack Butland?
No.
Would you not?
What the fuck would I take that deal?
Because Butland's been unbelievable for Rangers. Like,
I think I could do a job in goal in the Scottish League. No disrespect.
Yeah, but he's also done well in Europe for him.
No, I don't think he's worth 10 mil though. I want liquid cash, mate. I want liquid cash.
Yeah, he's got 5 million.
No,
he's only 31, mate.
No, I want more.
Fair enough. I just don't think anyone's going to put... It's going to be another loan move.
Nah, he'll be gone, mate. He will be gone.
But who...
Trust Hobbs. Trust the Hobgoblin, mate.
I reckon Lazio, 10 million plus 5 million add-ons or something like that.
Probably something like that, yeah.
That 35 million quid, mate, is definitely a brown paper deal, isn't it? 100%.
I wonder if Porto would get him back.
He already said he didn't want to leave, didn't he? There's just that deal needs like looking into. Porto was struck for cash. We spend whose club record signing was what, 27 on Semedo?
Yeah.
We spent 35 million quid on a 17-year-old.
Wasn't he before? Was he before Semedo or just after then?
Yeah, actually, yeah, he was before.
Yeah.
A 17-year-old with what?
So it would have been less than that. The record might have been 17 million.
Was that done? No, it would have been Jimenez.
John, maybe
it?
19. Oh, yeah, Jimenez.
On a 17-year-old with what, like 6 senior appearances, 1 senior goal.
Yeah.
You look back and think, you know, it's just a Mendes deal, and it's to help Porto out. Wolves are stupid enough to pay.
I showed him his profile on Football Manager, Jeff Shee. He was like, yeah, we'll have a bit of that.
That's what he said, like he's going to be, he's like one of the best strikers in Europe, isn't he?
Yeah, my best wonder kids or something, yeah. Boss man's been on FM Scout.
Got the digital editor out.
Sort it out, it's high. Yeah.
Oh, absolute shocker. Imagine what we could do with that 35 million now.
Probably I know.
Fucking piss it down the drain, probably. Right, should we go on to some questions, mate? I'm just going to look at Twitter. If you can hear noise in the background, I don't know what's happening downstairs, but it doesn't sound good. Right, and let's go straight to Twitter. So, Amar's Music Show opening the question segment as per usual. What do you think about Premier League clubs moving from PSR, profit and sustainability, to squad cost ratio? Do you think we voted for this? And if we did, isn't it just turkeys voting for Christmas? It makes the top six teams even stronger. Many clubs have bigger revenue than us, so this means another season ticket price rise. We'll start with the PSR and squad cost ratio first. I don't know if Wolves voted for that. I don't know if you know anything about it, Dave.
I don't even know what it means, to be honest.
I think it's done mostly on like your revenue. The more revenue you make, the more
you can spend.
The more you can spend. But
is that like FFP though, to a degree?
I think they've changed it because I think they've realised that the PSR doesn't really work. I also think it's going to harm the league as well, especially for like European qualification if it carries on, because your teams that are around like 6th, 7th, 8th, they pretty much all of them have got to sell the best player to stay within it. And say if they go abroad, it strengthens teams abroad. I just don't think it works. But then I don't think the point sanctions are ever going to be, you're never going to get 10 points again. I think that's out the window. I think the most you're probably going to get is like 5 or 6 points. I know Everton are going to breach again, So losses are 255 million over the last 3 years.
It's mad, isn't it? But they've got to be like, obviously, I've seen Wolves fans. You know how Forest, obviously, Forest are appealing there. So I don't know if it'll change. But I've seen Wolves fans say, oh, we should have spent the money and just taken a 4-point hit.
Well, nobody knew what that.
That ain't the point, though, is it? Yeah, exactly. But that ain't the point. And that's to say, folks, and have got that money to spend. They might not necessarily even want to be spending that money. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it goes over my head anyway, the financial side of things. But I think, and this is what I said on the transfer video last week, that the Che Adams deal now, if you can get him on a free, all of a sudden looks a lot more appealing because, you know, you're not having to actually fork out, obviously, wage-wise, you know, you offset that. But in terms of an actual transfer fee, you know, you're not spending any money on him. And then if and when you do come to sell him, it's just, you know, pure profit. So, it'll be another very interesting summer because January for clubs and agents was extremely quiet. So we'll have to see what summer is.
And I think that's based on the PSR. So if clubs were just scared because to see what the sanctions were. With the Forest one, I'd have read that the points were, because I got like 2 points back for cooperation, didn't they? I thought within that it was as long as like you don't appeal. But obviously they have appealed. So I don't think it's going to change. But I don't
they
blame
used Wolves in their appeal, didn't they? You see that Forest?
Yeah, but the financial years didn't marry up, did they? They said they sold Neves, but it was in a different financial year. But there's always been a bit of needle between Forest since they've come up, hasn't there? I think that's just going to add to it. In terms of season ticket price rises, Dave, I think it would be a massive... Look, the club have got to make the money somewhere, but I don't think that's the place that they should. I think like match day revenue is only a small proportion of the overall picture. I think Wolves could have a real kind of feel-good story. A big easy win if they say, look, we're going to freeze season ticket prices, because
they're still especially foes, and they need to keep fans on side. And if they stay, we're freezing them. I think they will go up. I'm fairly certain they'll go up.
I think if they do, it's really poor. Personally, I think it's really poor.
It's surely due soon, isn't it? Surely the details will be out, maybe.
Yeah, because you'll start to see last week and the next couple of weeks, you'll see a load of rumours circulate, won't you, about potential transfers. And that's when
it's normally due. Let me see when they were out last time. 23, 24. May. Oh, yeah, it was sort of early May, yeah. So probably next 4 or 5 weeks. That's still quite late, isn't it? Well, I suppose last year we weren't sure of our Premier League status. Yeah. So I think they could probably bring it out soon.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be a massive own goal if they put it. A couple of percent is palatable, but if you're looking at like 6-7% again, then I think it's ridiculous. Even though for the first time in what last 4 years the quality of the product has improved slightly, it's still
far away from what that price warrants.
And it's saying, yeah, but we've got to be competitive with other clubs in and around like our position in the league and kind of revenue. But football's not like, it's not like buying a can of Coke or a Pepsi. Like if the price of Coke goes up by 20%, you think, I'll settle for a Pepsi. But if your season ticket price at Wolves goes up 10%, you don't think, oh, you know what, I'm going to go and get one at Birmingham City because it's cheaper. Like, it doesn't work like that, does it?
Yeah.
And that's when I think fans' loyalties are exploited somewhat. I'm not, no, it's not a socialist world we live in, but the club has to make the money somewhere. But I think to hurt match-going fans when you could probably go and, you could probably make it elsewhere. I'm not going to crunch the numbers. Even a commercial relationship or partnership, which they don't grow on trees. You have to put a lot of work in to get them done. But I just think it could be a real good PR story for Wolves under Gary O'Neill. Give him a little bit of backing. I'm not expecting massive amounts of spending, but freeze the season ticket prices. keep hold of João Gomes, sell Neto, reinvest that money, and then fans are excited for the next season ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I fully agree.
I'm just going to quickly move on to Instagram, mate, because there seems to be quite a lot of questions on there. If you just bear with me. A lot of questions are around like top five ideal signings, which we could do videos on that.
Yeah,
I was going to say we'll do videos on that because off the top of the dome, it's quite hard to think of
research.
There's a question here: should we sell Kilman?
Depends on fees and stuff. I think if you get offered the 35 again that Napoli offered, I think we'll consider it.
They have to. If you get rid of Kilman and Neto, and you bring in, I don't know, 100 million, so 90 million, 100 million, I think that's a good window.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you got a little bit of flexibility then. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to see because I don't think he's been awful this year, but he's not been, you know, he's not pulled up any trees. So I think he's still going to be looking at sort of money. I think so, but I think the ship with teams like Napoli is sailed now. Anyway, you know they've replaced Kim Min-jae. You know they moved on, so we'll have to wait and see.
Kabura the sixth says, not a question, but could you discuss on how much Ryan Aitnova dribbles too much and it costs us? I think he got caught in possession a couple of times at the weekend, but I don't think it costs us. I think he's the only outlet that we've kind of got at the minute, and it's not by pure pace. It's just his ability to go past players. I think, honestly, he's one of my favourite players to watch. So exciting. Yeah,
I don't think he costs us as such. So.
Tekken legend has said, would Sevilla striker Enes Ray be worth signing for Wolves? If so, what would he be worth? He's pretty sure he's out of contract soon, isn't he?
I think he's got another year left on his deal. Yeah. So, yeah. But we're always linked with him. So, I don't know.
From what I remember, he's like fantastic in the air, isn't he? Like a real presence, but is that someone that we need?
Yeah, in terms of how we play counter-attacking style, I don't think it works.
The same user has asked, would Saint-Maximin be a good replacement for Neto, or how about Galeno?
Galeno is a good player.
He's at Porto, yeah.
Yeah, Galeno is a very good player. I think he played against us for Braga in the Europa League.
Yeah, he scored. He nicked the ball off Ryan Bennett. Didn't they?
Yeah, so but then the Maximin,
no chance,
not for me.
I don't think Galeno is going to be in the market that we're shopping in anyway.
No, that's Champions League, player, yeah. Mate.
That Jota Silva rumor surfaced again, didn't it?
It would, yeah. The story that came out because he had another good performance, I think, recently, and he's been in the Portugal team, and it's come out that these release clause is 20 million. And apparently Wolves at the moment are only sort of the only sort of Premier League club linked with him as such. I think basically the report was saying that if Wolves want to sign him, they've got to act quickly. So, but there's all sorts of stuff that Wolves have already got an agreement. You know, Wolves were meant to have signed him in January. So,
and that fullback as well, the left back / left winger, who's at, is he at Famalicão?
Oh, I thought he was the same player.
No, it's a different player. That Jota Silva's like a winger who can play centrally. That was Sergio.
I thought it was the same player. That's why I never...
No, it wasn't the same player. It's a different player.
Oh, yeah, Jota Silva, 24. Yeah. I remember he scored a few goals. Yeah, Philomel... I know you mean. That was the one I was on about, sorry.
It's Sergio something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was at... No, Estoril, when I think he was at.
Yeah, he's on loan, though, from Braga, isn't he?
Yeah. Was it Estoril? Yeah. Rodrigo Gomez.
I think Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Steve Ashley, considering what the expectations were at the start of the season, are we all happy? I think so, yeah. I think satisfied is probably a better way of phrasing it. I think at the start of the season, when everyone had us to go down, we said, look, we're not going down. Look, the squad's way too good for that. But I think we are where I kind of expected us to be, maybe a couple of places above. I think that's sort of the quality of the squad, like mid-table prem. So, I think satisfied. Just move on to a couple more questions before we wrap up. A lot of questions around Noah Lamina, which I think we've covered when we're talking about the Villa game. If you, Joseph Byrne has said, if you were Gary O'Neill, would you be actively looking to move and manage another club right now? I don't think so.
I don't think he'll be actively looking to move, but at the same time, he probably will keep his options open. But I don't know. I think he knows that ultimately, looking back at the start of the season, he was quite fortunate to have got this job. I think in terms of times and everything, it worked out perfectly for him. But now he's proved to everybody that, you know, he's capable of managing a Premier League football team. So although I don't think he'll be like saying, look, I'm on the market, come and get me, I think he'll still, you know, he'll still keep his eye on things to see what happens. So we'll have to wait and see.
A final question. Do you think Fosun will ever change and actually back a manager for once and give them a proper squad? To their credit, mate, they did back the manager, but they did back the wrong one. I mean, they give Bruno Lage 20 million to spend, didn't they?
They've backed Nuno extensively.
Yeah. But now you feel like you've got a manager that you could go again and build something with, then I don't think they are going to back him, are they? I think it's going to be money.
It's a completely new sort of regime now as well. So I think as long as Gary O'Neill is, you know, settled and he stays this summer, which I have no doubt he will, it should be, you'd hope, a productive transfer window for the first time in a long, long time, you'd hope.
I think we've a bit of money to spend if we raise it through. I just really hope we keep hold of like Ait Nouri, Joe Gomez. I'm quite happy for Neto to go for the right money, purely based on his injury record, which could lessen his price. But I think he's going to be one of those seasons. Look, Wolves will know that Neto's going to go. I think George Mendes will already put in the wheels in motion. City are heavily linked with him. But what I don't want to be is, which is always is the excuse that the Neto deal happens a bit later, and it was, well, we didn't have time to make the signings. Wolves will have a rough feeling the kind of money they're going to get and where the player's going to go.
The issue is this summer is that if he gets back to fitness before the end of the season, which I'm sure he'll want to because he'll want to be in the Euros squad, and if he can appear the last 2-3 games of the season, although they're very tough games for Wolves, to be fair, and get himself into the Euros squad, then you know, you will normally have to wait till after the Euros for any deals to be confirmed, at least. But you'd hope.
If he has a good Euros, mate, then you might enter the bidding, which is what you want, really. You want to be more, don't you?
Yeah, so, yeah, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see.
Wonderful. Dave, it's been a pleasure, mate. Any plans for the rest of the bank holiday? Or
no, I've got to do the Burnley preview now. I'll probably sleep the rest of the day, or at least chill out the rest of the day, and then long day tomorrow as well, working till early afternoon, and then Burnley away. I'm only doing it because I've never done it before. I've never done turf more, so I need to look at
awful
parking and stuff.
I always park.
You parked on like a cricket ground or something last time?
Nah, that you can't. The cricket ground's literally next door to the ground. I normally park. It's about a 5 or so minute, or maybe 10 minutes. There's a Premier in.
Oh yeah.
And you can park on the car park using like Just Park or one of those.
I'll have a look at that in a sec.
And it's like 5 or 6 quid. Get straight back on the motorway from there. So that's what I did. So safe travels up there tomorrow, mate.
Cheers, buddy. Thank you.
Hope you enjoy it. I don't like Burnley away. It's awful. It's like stepping back into a bit of a time warp. It's like going to
So I can't remember who said it to me. Someone said, oh yeah, I like Burnley, really nice ground. And I thought,
no,
you're the only ever person I've ever heard say this. So
it's not the worst ground, don't get me wrong, but it's got a bit of character. Yeah. When people say that something's got a bit of character, it usually means it's a shithole. like Goodison Park. but yeah, mate, been a pleasure. Hopefully we get a bit more of a positive week. But if you have enjoyed this podcast and you're listening on Apple and Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. It really does help us. Likewise on YouTube, like the video, subscribe if you're new. We are Talking Wolves across all platforms. And yeah, until next time, we'll be back next week with another podcast reviewing the West Ham and the Burnley game. But yeah, until next time, enjoy the rest of your bank holidays. Take care and up the Wolves.